What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Catching Heaters. I am your host, Matt, and as always, I am excited to be here with you tonight. I hope everybody's staying safe out there and tried to have a good weekend with everything going on. I know the wife and I did. We went out to the beach here in Sarasota on Lido Key to kind of just relax and get away from everything. The weather was great. The water was fantastic. We soaked up the sun and enjoyed ourselves. And I'm excited to be here with you tonight to just go over some Sunday quick hits. I wanted to take some time and go over five topics kind of that was happening this weekend and give 2 minutes on each topic and go through them quickly. So it won't be a very long episode, but I just wanted to touch on a couple of things from the week and what's going on during the weekend. Just cracked open a beer. If you've never been or never had, Cigar City Brewing from Tampa. Really great brewery. I enjoy them. I highly recommend them. I'm drinking their Citra Pale Ale right now. Very tasty beverage. So enjoying that, kind of winding down towards the end of the night. Going to have a great dinner. And it was a great weekend overall, considering what is going on, you know, in the world and in the United States with everything, with the protesting. So hope everyone's staying safe. Hope we can all come together and you know, have a better 2020. But let's dive into sports. I want to kind of get everybody's mind off of what's going on. So like I said, I want to do some quick hits tonight, and I'm going to go through five topics real quick. The first one's going to be Project 2020 update, just go over what happened throughout the week. The second one is going to be going over Derek Jeter and his rookie cards and why I think they're you should buy in now. I think they're going to continue to rise. And the third one is just talking George Kittle and his contract. And the last two, we're talking Cam Newton. And number five is going to be discussing Lance, the 30 for 30 that's happening tonight, part two. And I'm going to kind of break down a little bit of why I enjoyed part one and why I'm looking forward to tonight. So let's hop right into it. I'm going to do my best here and kind of start a timer to go through these quickly with under 2 minutes. First topic, Project 2020. So quick update. As everyone knows, if you're paying attention to Project 2020, the Ken Griffey went for astronomical numbers, 99,000 sold. The rest of the cards that came out this week, the Koufax Williams, those were about 40,000 sold as far as the print run. The Rivera, the Mo Rivera and the Ripken, Rivera was 35 and the Ripken was 41,000. And as the week kind of, it kind of escalated during the middle of the week. And then towards the end of the week, the cards that ended today, which was the Mattingly cartoon and the Frank Thomas Fucacci, I think is how you say it. The Mattingly cartoon was 27,000 and the Thomas was 22,000. So moving forward, I think there was so much hype and everybody hopped in this week and was really buying the cards as they were heating up. And then they saw those high print runs. And I don't know if people are getting a little scared away or if that one was highly sought after, but my feeling moving forward is what I've been saying this whole time. And if you've listened to my podcast the past couple times, is I think that you should continue to get in and buy the cards that you like and enjoy. Keep an eye on certain artists, because I think at the very end of this, certain artists are going to be collectible, whether it's a full set of that artist, whether it's a full set of a particular player. I continue to believe that this is a great set to invest in, one, and then personally collect two. For me, I'm kind of trying to do a little bit of both. And like I mentioned last episode, I might end up hedging a little bit towards the end, just to make sure that I'm going to get my money's worth and feel comfortable. But if you were lucky enough to have some of the lower print runs, you're going to do very well. But keep watching into it. I think as the week goes on or in the months go on, these print runs are going to continue to kind of stabilize and be a little bit lower. All right. So that is the timer there. Let's get on to the next topic. Even though Project 2020 is so hot, it's exciting to talk about. But in correlation, let's go ahead and start the new timer. And we're going to talk about Derek Jeter's rookie cards. And I, before this whole Project 2020, I bought one of his 1993 tops, just just a general Topps base card in a PSA 9. And I bought that for around just under $50. I think it was like $47. And I really like Jeter as a whole. I think he has a big market. Also, his Hall of Fame induction got pushed back until next year. So I think there's a lot of room to grow in these cards. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because this is the card that the Project 2020 is kind of being designed after. And I think with the popularity of what Project 2020 is doing, it's going to continue to bring this card to the forefront of investors' minds. And I wanted to put some perspective in. So I bought this PSA 9 about a month ago, middle of April, towards the end of April, for the $47. This in a PSA 9, it's currently selling for about $80, $90. So it's continuing to rise. If you're on the higher end, you're able to get the gold. Definitely recommend the gold. In a PSA 9, in mid-April, when I bought my base card, it was selling for $149. And now those golds are selling for about $200, $210. Now, if you're able to buy a PSA 10, which I wish I would have in mid-April, a PSA 10, this base card was selling for $300. And now, basically a month and a half later, it's selling for $530. So you would have done really well if you had hopped in mid-April. The reason why I'm bringing it up is I still think that this card is going to grow. So I highly recommend taking a look. Do your own research first, obviously. You know, go into eBay, look at the sold listings. But I think that this card is going to continue to rise. So hopping in now, I think, is a good idea, especially with the momentum that this Project 2020 has around these major cards. So take a look, do some research. That's the timer for the 2 minutes on this topic. So let's get into the next topic here. Moving forward, we're going to transition over to the NFL. And I wanted to bring up George Kittle. It's one of the topics in the news right now with not a lot of sports going on. Kittle obviously is one of the elite tight ends in football currently, and he's wanting a new contract. So he's basically saying he deserves wide receiver money. He doesn't want to have to settle for tight end money. Now, I mean, it sounds great, and I wish that players really could not be sectioned off into positions at sometimes, but that's just the way, you know, the NFL works. It's the way sports work. So I wanted to dive in a little bit in this short time. The highest paid wide receivers in the NFL right now are being paid about $15 to $18 million a year. And your highest paid wide receiver is Beckham. Odell Beckham, then you have Evans, Hopkins, you have Devontae Adams, you have Brandon Cooks, and those guys are all ranging from 15 to 18 million. The highest paid tight ends in the league right now are, the highest paid tight end is Jimmy Graham at 10 million, and they're ranging from about 7.5 million to 10 million. My personal opinion, I think the best tight end in the league is Travis Kelce. And that's no knock on Kittle. I think he's a fantastic player. But Kelce right now, his contract, he's making $9.4 million a year. So when Kittle is trying to push for that, I just don't see it happening for him to be able to. I know he wants to set the market, and I know he wants to level up for tight ends and get what they deserve. Now, he had great stats last year. He had 85 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and 5 TDs. Solid stats, but not anywhere compared to what wide receivers are doing in the NFL. So at the end of the day, I respect it, but I just don't see it happening, especially when I don't know which team paid Jimmy Graham, but $10 million a year, and then now what's happening on the back end, he's definitely not worth $10 million a year. So in the future, I just don't think it's going to hold up. He's probably just going to get tight end money at the end of the day. All right, so that's the end of that timer and how I feel kind of on the Kittle contract. I think that he's just going to have to settle for, you know, the tight end money. He's not going to get the elite level wide receiver money. Let's move on. We're going to keep it in the NFL. I want to talk a little bit about Cam Newton and what's going on with that situation. There's not a lot of news around it. And as the season kind of keeps going forward and we're past the draft already, teams have already kind of settled in. They have their rosters. There's not really many backup positions left in the NFL right now. So, I mean, obviously people are talking about possibly the Patriots signing him. I just don't see them doing that. I think they're going to give Stidham a run and let him either tank this year, or if he becomes you know, one of those top tier quarterbacks, or in that discussion of a serviceable quarterback, the Patriots are going to want to keep him around. As far as Cam goes, he was out all last year, obviously. I don't think it's a good look for him to sit out another full year. I think, in my personal opinion, he needs to get signed somewhere, whether it's a backup. I know he doesn't want to do the backup role. I think he's a starter. I personally think that he is good enough. He proved to me a couple years ago that he can play at that MVP level and take a team to the Super Bowl. He just needs to be in the right environment. The challenge is he was hurt last year. Teams weren't sure if he'd come back fully healthy. It looks like from what he's doing with his workouts and everything that he is back fully healthy. But at the end of the day, if he sits out a whole nother season, then it's going to make it even more challenging for him the following year to not play football for 2 years and a team to be able to rely on him moving forward with their franchise. And he's getting up there in age. I mean, he's at his peak, his halfway point in his career, and he's a running quarterback that can get injured, so teams are kind of staying away from him. I think he deserves to be a starter. He needs to sign, though. He needs to sign, get in with the team. He can't rely on someone getting hurt and a team wanting to pick him up. So I hope a team signs him. He deserves to be playing football. I hope we can see Cam Newton back here soon, but he can't sit out for 2 years. All right, that's 2 minutes on Cam Newton. Let's dive in. Last topic is going to be the documentary right now that is going on after The Last Dance. It's called Lance. It's the Lance Armstrong documentary. I watched the first episode last Sunday, and I really liked it. ESPN always does a great job with these documentaries, and they always give great insights. For me, my takeaway is I remember when I was a kid growing up, all this hype around Lance and how it was built up of how he was the greatest cyclist and all those Tour de France's he was winning. It really became popular in the news. But being a young kid, I really wasn't involved in it. I just was following sports and I was aware of it. Now that I'm able to kind of sit down and watch the documentary, it really gives an interesting perspective on the cycling sport. From the standpoint of, one, how grueling the sport is and how challenging all of these events are, how much wear and tear it puts on your body to be able to, you know, do this for multiple days in a row and at the pace that these teams and clubs are kind of doing together and pushing for one goal for one cyclist to be the top tier guy. And then, you know, you get the perspective from Lance's side and see his insights into the cycling world. And it's very interesting to see his perspective on the industry as a whole. And once you start to kind of see how he nonchalantly talks about drugs and how they're being used in the sport, it just kind of makes it's very interesting to see how much these athletes need to recover when they're doing this. And I think everybody in that sport realizes recovery is the biggest thing, and being able to perform the way you want to perform on the elite level. Drugs are just one of those things where they're having to do it. And it also, it makes me interested in the next 30-for-30 that's coming up with Maguire and Sosa and how, you know, athletes play every day and how they're trying to recover. And that's why they're using some of those things and allow them to perform at a higher level. So I'm excited for the episode tonight. That is the last 2 minutes here, so I'm going to get going. But I hope you check out the new documentary. Check me out on my social media. I'm at Instagram. I'm at Catching Heaters. I'm on TikTok as well at Catching Heaters. I hope you are enjoying the podcast. I'm planning on putting out some more stuff this week. Please give me a like. Give me a subscribe on the podcast. Give me some feedback. I would greatly appreciate that. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope everyone has a great upcoming week. We got more topics coming in. Thanks for joining me tonight, and have a great rest of your week.